Welcome back to Wyoming Sports Talk today. I'm Larry Prawati. Across the way, Nick Prawati. We bring on our first guest. He is TJ McBride, Nuggets beat writer for Mile High Sports. TJ, thank you so much for joining us here on a Thursday. And I guess right out of the box, happy on a Thursday for the Denver Nuggets. Of course, they made it exciting last night in the can against the Minnesota Timberwolves, but nonetheless, they are the number two seed out of the West.
Yeah, the Nuggets have to be as happy as they possibly can be right now, because not only did they lock in that two seed, but Portland somehow, with just six players on their roster last night, found a way to beat the Kings, like 136 to 131. With that win that Portland also got, Denver now will not have to face the Utah Jazz, the Golden State Warriors, or the Houston Rockets until the Western Conference Finals, if they get that far. So not only are they the two seed, not only do they get home court advantage in the first two rounds, but they're only going to have to face the Spurs and then the winner of the Portland Trail Blazers and Oklahoma City Thunder in the second round. So their path to a Western Conference Finals appearance has become significantly easier than it would have been just 48 hours ago.
But it's certainly not the easiest route, though, or at least, again, no real contest in the Western Conference you can kind of classify as easy, even with this 2-7 matchup between the Denver Nuggets and the San Antonio Spurs. I mean, you got to go with, you know, non-experience with the Denver Nuggets compared to couple decades of experience with the at least San Antonio Spurs, led by Greg Popovich. At least he knows what he's doing out there. So certainly can't, at least if you're the Denver Nuggets and Mike Malone, you can't take the San Antonio Spurs very lightly in this first round.
There is no taking them lightly. This Nuggets team knows exactly what they're getting into with this first team. I mean, this is a group of guys that have been able to beat the Nuggets in San Antonio for almost a decade. They have lost 13 straight games in San Antonio at this point. So it's not going to be easy. It definitely isn't. But this is also not the Spurs of the old. This is not the Spurs that we have seen for the, you know, the past 7-8 years of just postseason dominance with the guys that they have had around for so long. This is not the same defensive-minded Spurs team that they once had. There is going to be a lot more of an interesting thought process as the Nuggets go into this, because what kind of a Spurs team are you going to get? Are they going to slow it down? Are they going to try and play just heavy offensive basketball with DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge? We really just don't know what they're going to look like in the playoffs yet, because this is a very un-Greg Popovich Spurs team. So it's going to be a very interesting situation, but one thing I know for sure is that they will not be taking the Spurs lightly. That is without a doubt.
Nonetheless, 1-8, though, TJ, in the West right now, any team capable of winning any, first round? I mean, even the Clippers to a certain degree. Everybody's going to say the Warriors are going to get into playoff mode. We all know that. But again, you match up 1-8, 2-7, 3-6. Anyone is capable of popping an upset.
Yeah, you're definitely not wrong. And when I start really looking for a potential upset opportunity, it's hard for me to look past that Houston Rockets-Utah Jazz series. Because the Utah Jazz, man, that team is defensively capable of causing just chaos for that Houston Rockets team. Yes, the Rockets are just absolutely out of this world, and James Harden honestly should probably be the co-MVP with Giannis. He's been that good this year. But they have the actual players and the right defensive system to potentially slow that Rockets team and give and really push them out in the first round. That would not surprise me. So if I'm looking for an upset, it is that Rockets Jazz series for sure.
Shifting back, though, to the Denver Nuggets, TJ, where it's something that we've asked Denver AP sports writer Pat Graham, and I'll ask you the same thing, TJ. For this Denver Nuggets team, again, it is a team that is fresh into the playoffs. They've been away at least from tasting playoff action for quite some time, get a new bunch of what we saw compared to the 2012-2013 season for the Nuggets. Does Denver have enough, again, as we're looking at the first round and obviously Western Conference Finals going to be at least a little ways away, for the Denver Nuggets, does this team have enough? Does it have enough pieces in there to make it to the Western Conference Finals? Does it have enough pieces to do, I dare even say and ask, does it have enough to even represent the West in the NBA Finals?
I mean, they do have enough talent to make the Western Conference Finals. When you start talking about potentially facing off with the Warriors, who will have home court advantage in the Western Conference Finals, I have almost no faith that Denver can win that series. I mean, yes, there's always the opportunity of a freak injury. Steph Curry just had a mild ankle sprain in the last game of the season a couple of days ago. So there are opportunities to where maybe Denver just kind of lucks into a chance to beat a potentially shorthanded Warriors team, maybe. But they do absolutely have the talent to find themselves in the Western Conference Finals. I don't know if there's a real argument that Denver isn't a potential top three team in the West. Yes, the Jazz are right there. Yes, the Thunder are right there. But the Nuggets are right there with them. The talent level is there. The consistency is there. The win profile is there. And the thing that everyone keeps bringing up is their general inexperience in the playoffs, which is absolutely carries quite a bit of merit with it. My thought when it comes to the inexperience is that from being around this team and around these guys, there is a we're young and dumb enough to not go in there scared mentality. They might just go in there playing themselves. They might just try and be the best version of themselves and not actually play into the idea that young teams don't win playoff series. Young teams also don't win on the road, but Denver had 20 road wins this season. Young teams don't win division games, but Denver has division wins this year. So I do think that there is a potential that the Nuggets just go in there feeling like there is no pressure on them, and they absolutely perform in a way that we had not expected a team without experience to do so. We won't know until it gets there. There's a whole lot of variables, but in terms of talent and in terms of the mindset, I think they have the right combination to make things extremely interesting in the Western Conference playoffs.
We're talking with TJ McBride, Nuggets beat writer for Mile High Sports. Going back to the playoff situation, and again, you brought up a very good point. And if everything goes according to Hoyle, in the first round, we'll have 1-4. That would be the Warriors and the Rockets, even though, you know, there could be an upset. But also 2-2-3 would be the Denver Nuggets and the Portland Trailblazers. Again, I'm stepping ahead of myself right now. But what the Trailblazers did last night really probably boosted a little more confidence in these young Denver Nuggets, because if the Nuggets can get by San Antonio, their odds of beating Portland are a lot better than matching up with a Houston Rockets team.
Yeah, there is no denying that whatsoever. And then also the loss of Jusuf Nurkić is going to drastically hurt their ability to match up with the Nuggets as well. Nurkić at least was mobile enough on the perimeter and strong and big enough in the post to at least give Nikola Jokic struggles. Like, he wouldn't actually have terrible games, but he would have to work for things in a more tough way than he has to against other centers throughout the league. So Nurkić was a big part of them being able to match up with the Nuggets. Now without him, I don't know how they are going to find a way to defend Nikola Jokic in the playoff series. So for me, Portland is in a very tough spot, especially if they end up facing the Nuggets in the second round, if we're going to live in that world like we are right now. The other team, though, the Thunder, the Nuggets have beaten the Thunder 6 straight times going back to last year. They have handled them on the road and at home. They have beaten them with defense, with offense, and with a mixture of the two. So for me, even if the Thunder managed to get across the Portland Trailblazers in the first round, and Denver manages to get past San Antonio, the Thunder are not in a position to really be able to be favored against a Denver Nuggets team, especially considering that Paul George's right shoulder keeps getting re-aggravated. So that's why the Nuggets making that bet that they could find a way to get into the other side of the bracket was such an important one, because the Nuggets match up extremely well with Portland and with the Thunder.
Far be it from me, TJ, to put the Denver Nuggets with the Warriors home season here, a couple three seasons back, along with the San Antonio Spurs. But what made this season so special for the Denver Nuggets in the can? I mean, they were invincible at the Pepsi Center.
Honestly, I don't know what it is. Because, like, yes, it's easy to give the cliches that when you have your sixth player and the fans out there being loud, it makes you play better. But the Nuggets were not this dominant of a home team over the past, two or three seasons. They have a historical great track record at home, but they haven't been recently. So for me, I think that the Nuggets just realized that if they wanted to be a dominant team in the West, that winning home games was priority number one, if not number two. So they came in with the thought in their head that they have to win their home game at all costs. And whatever mental state that Michael Malone was able to pound into their collective mindset, it worked. And they came out, and they are, without a doubt, one of the most dominant home court teams, if not the most dominant. They have been phenomenal at home, and they have learned how to win games doing just enough to win, which is what great teams do. So they've had a lot of close games at home, but they found a way to win them. And now, with all of that confidence going into the playoffs, with having home court advantage in at least the first two rounds of the playoff, that's going to be a very big deal for Denver looking down the line.
Speaking of Michael Malone, head coach of the Denver Nuggets, again, what he was able to do to turn this franchise around, again, making them the second seed, where Denver Nuggets last year were just on the outside looking in of the playoffs. My question to you, TJ, for Coach Mike Malone, is he the unanimous NBA head coach of the year, or are there other candidates right behind Mike Malone for that award honor this season?
Well, you got the cat in Milwaukee, don't you, TJ?
Yes. So this is my thing, is that there are so many high-level Coach of the Year candidates right now in the NBA. Nate McMillan has been phenomenal in Indiana. You have Mike Budenholzer in Milwaukee, who has turned them into a complete juggernaut. You have Doc Rivers taking a starless Clippers team and making them a playoff team. There are just so many guys. And even like Dave Yeager, who aspired today, he brought that Kings team from just the depths of despair to potentially making the playoffs. So this year, unlike most, there are so many high-level candidates. But for me, Michael Malone has done the best job. I have trouble giving Mike Budenholzer that much credit for just having the idea that, maybe we should put four shooters around Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, that is not a revolutionary idea to me. That more speaks to Jason Kidd's incompetence the past few years than that Mike Budenholzer has just revolutionized what they do down there. Doc Rivers, while very good, he fell off in a big way in the second half of the year and his Clippers team. They went from being right there in the top three seeds to suddenly in that 6-7-8 realm for the most of the second half. You know, Nate McMillan has done a good job with Indiana, but they haven't exactly torn the league apart. So for me, Michael Malone, with the team that had the most games lost due to injury, with the second youngest roster from when the season started, to be able to take that team from a team that missed the playoffs last year into a Western Conference playoff team and actually lock in a top two seed on the last day of the season, that to me is so much more impressive than I have seen from other coaches. So for me, Michael Malone is the unquestioned coach of the year, but we'll have to just wait and see. Denver does not get a whole lot of love in that regard. So maybe the voters will remember Michael Malone. Maybe they'll give it to Budenholzer just because they have been so good in Milwaukee. But only time will tell. But Malone absolutely deserves the recognition from being a coach of the year candidate.
Final thought for me to you, TJ, and want to get your thought on the West this season. But it would be, to me, my surprise in the West would be James not doing it for the Lakers this year, not single-handedly putting him on his back and getting him in the playoffs, and then, of course, the resignation of Magic after it was all said and done. What was your big surprise in the West this season?
Yeah, it has to be the Lakers because, I mean, again, LeBron James went to the Lakers with the idea that Magic Johnson mixed with the appeal of the Lakers franchise will undoubtedly be able to get me a second star to run with. Clearly, that backfired in a gigantic way. So much so that Magic Johnson couldn't take the pressure of potentially tampering by accident and resigned without telling his boss, who he considers a sister. Like, that is just an absolutely insane thought process for me, just to say that sentence out loud. And then to think about the fact that not only did they not get a star, but they completely alienated the majority of their young players who are actually good players. That is just insane. And then you go out and you sign Rajon Rondo, Michael Beasley, JaVale McGee, and Lance Stephenson and try and take the ball out of LeBron's hands. Nothing that the Lakers did this year made any sense to me. And for that alone, it is just a complete staggering effect. I mean, they're wasting the very last few years of LeBron's prime just to completely blow up the most reputable franchise in the NBA's history. So that to me is absolutely insane. I will never be able to forget the complete debacle that was the Lakers season this season.
Well, TJ,
there's no love loss on this end that the Lakers didn't make the playoffs.
We have no problems with the Lakers not being there. Hey, TJ, hopefully we'll get a chance to catch up with you when the Warriors and the Nuggets face off for the NBA's Western Conference Finals.
Always a pleasure to talk with you guys. Anytime you want me on, just give me a ring. It's always great talking.
Thank you so much, TJ McBride, Nuggets beat writer for Mile High Sports. And you can tell in the voice there the excitement as the Nuggets gearing up for postseason play. It's been a while as they will play host to the San Antonio Spurs in the opening round. We will take a timeout. We'll come back with more of Wyoming Sports Talk today after these words here on 1480 KRA.